Bom dia, boa tarde. Welcome to another episode of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. I'm your guest host, John Neves, back here again to talk about my favorite subject, your favorite subject, and that is, of course, Portuguese soccer, Portuguese football, whatever word you use in your part of the world. Episode 181. Well, where is summer going? It's almost the end of July. It is going very, very fast. And one thing that's also going fast is we've got a lot of things going on in Portugal. We've got the women's team at the World Cup. Congratulations on winning their first ever World Cup match. It's been a season's of first. First time in the World Cup. First time they win a World Cup match. First goal. The last match in Portugal set a record for best attendance to see Portugal women's team play. It's been fantastic. I'll talk about more about that in a few minutes, including their showdown with the USA. Vitória Guimarães began for Portuguese club European competition, playing their first leg, second preliminary round in Slovenia, and it came out with a very good result. I'll talk about that. I'll talk about the League Cup, which took place this past weekend in Portugal. A lot of results. We even had some matches that went to a penalty kick. But I'll talk about that in a few minutes. We'll talk about the latest rumors in Portugal. I'm also going to give you, in my opinion, go ahead as we sort of head toward the end of July. And obviously, we're going to have a very big August. A lot of deals get done in August before the deadline. But I'll give you, in my opinion, the 10 best transfer moves, players that are coming into Portugal. I'm not talking about selling. I'm talking about players that come into Portugal. And I'll talk about that as well as the Big Three report, the Braga report, and then I'll end it as well with viewer comments, which I'm going to start from now on this week. Just send me your questions. I got a few this week that I'll answer. And then I'll end it with, of course, talking about my favorite team in Portugal, Atlético dos Arcos. And this week, Arcos de Valdez had a very special guest. And I'll tell you about that in a few minutes. But let's get going here first. Again, congratulations to the women on defeating Vietnam. Again, it's just been the first of many things and winning their first ever match. But now it gets very interesting for the women because they're going to be playing this tournament favorite, the defending champion, and that is, of course, the United States. The United States, the last four times they've played Portugal, they've beaten them, and Portugal has not scored. So Portugal offensively has had a very, very difficult time trying to create something against the United States. And let me just say, if you love Portuguese football, Portuguese soccer, you got to be very proud of everything you've seen with the women. And I think what you want to see on Tuesday is you want to see a tough performance. You want to see them winning every 50-50 ball. Because to beat the USA, you're not going to beat them on a lucky goal. It's going to be very hard to play the USA for a full 90 minutes. You're only going to win. There are only two ways you're going to win. I'm not going to get into the details of the players because I don't know the women's scene as much as like I know the men's scene. So I'm not going to act like something that I'm not. I'm sorry. It's just not who I am if you listen to this podcast. But I will give you some advice. It's the same advice that many years ago I wrote about at PortugueseSoccer.com when back in South Korea, Portugal was playing the USA and nobody gave the USA any chance to beat Portugal that had Figo, João Pinto, Rui Costa, Vitor Bahia. It was an amazing team. But I said it back then when people were asking me in the States, you know, how can the United States beat Portugal? And I'm going to say the same thing I said then about now about how can Portugal possibly upset the USA. And by the way, it's hard for me to root for both teams because you're talking about my country against Portugal. I'm just going to look forward to watching the match. But since this is a PortugueseSoccer.com podcast, there's only two ways to beat the USA if you're Portugal under the current situation, not taking into account the players. Number one, you got to score early. The USA has had your number. You hardly ever score against them historically. You score a goal, you set the tone of this match that, hey, we're here to play and you need to take us seriously. Or you try to beat the US on a late goal and win 1-0. You're not going to be able to compete, okay, with the USA for 90 minutes with all the talent they have. And remember, a lot of their players play in much bigger leagues than the ones in Portugal. It's a bigger league in the US than it is the one that play in the United States. And then you got a bunch of players that play in Europe like Lyon and France, which is a big team. You got to beat them early with a goal and set the tone that you're going to be taken seriously. Or you got to hope for a 0-0 match heading into the final minutes and then beat them with a counterattack or a free kick or something. That's really what I think you got to do if you're Portugal. And let me say, regardless of what happens, you got to be very proud of what they have done. Making it to the first World Cup, winning their first match, it's been terrific. And the women's game in Portugal is growing. This is great for women's sports in Portugal. And again, and you know, the only disappointment for me about it, and obviously it's nobody's fault, is the match is at 3 o'clock in the morning where I am and 8 o'clock in Portugal. So it's a bit of a challenge. My cousins in France laugh at me because they get to watch it at 9 a.m. But that's just the way it's going to be. And I'll probably take a big nap before I start to watch the match, which will be broadcast on Fox, where I'm going to be. So those are my thoughts on the women's team, and good luck to them. Let's get going with European action. It's already started. Vitória Guimarães this week defeated a team called Silgi from Slovenia, 4-3. High-scoring match. They, I think within like the first 20, 30 seconds, this team scored against them. But a lot of credit to Guimarães. They came back. They scored 4 goals. Obviously, away goals don't mean anything anymore in European competition. But it was a very good win for a Portuguese team. Now they need to come home and finish it. And again, as I've said already in these last few episodes, if you're a regular, you know, we've never qualified for the Europa Conference League. The points are the same whether you're in the Champions League, Europa, Europa Conference League. So we need to have that 5th and 6th team for Portugal playing in Europe to get as many points as we can, because we got a lot of work to do to try to catch up to Holland. And that only starts with what I consider to be very important. And again, it's tough because a top club like Arouca and a club like Guimarães have made a lot of changes. So the team they had last year is not necessarily fully the team they have this year. And that's always like a big worry of mine. But Guimarães off to a very, very good start. We also saw last week, of course, the League Cup started. We saw some very interesting results. First off, we saw Belenenses, the original Belenenses, in extra time defeating Fama 3-2. Big, big match there. We saw Portimonense eliminate promoted Estrela Amadora 3-1. Moreirense set the records last year in the second division for most points. Great team. They made a lot of changes, and they've already are eliminated already from the League Cup, losing to newly promoted Feirense. So the two teams last year that were promoted up straight up without going to the playoff, Feirense from the Algarve eliminates Moreirense. We saw Estoril beating Passos de Ferreira, and we saw one of my favorite teams, them and Vilaverdense, of course, like I've talked about. We saw Turiense defeat Mafra at home. And obviously, again, I'm a big fan of Turiense, a lot of family in Torres Vedras, and I'm so happy to see that they're off to a very good start. And now we got weekend two, round two. First off, we will have a match to finish in the first round this weekend. Santa Clara at home in the Azores will be taking on Tondela to finish the complete first round. But everything that's going, round two, coming up this Friday, the day that I dropped this episode, AVS, which used to be called Avs, they will be taking on Vizela. You've got two matches on a Saturday with Feirense taking on Oliveirense. You got Estoril taking on Belenenses, two teams from the Lisbon region. That ought to attract a very good crowd on Saturday night. Then you've got four matches on Sunday, Leixões, Portimonense, Leiria, who beat Boavista in the Bessa. They will be taking on Nacional. You got one of my favorite teams in the second division, Turiense, taking on Casa Pia. Big result last week by Casa Pia. And Casa Pia, I believe, last week, yeah, they eliminated Vilaverdense. So, no, thank you very much for that. But Turiense taking on Casa Pia. Hopefully, they will get some revenge there for me. Arouca will play Rio Ave. And then everything will end. And this match is being moved to September because Guimarães is just totally concentrating on qualifying for Europe. So Vitória Guimarães will play the winner of this weekend's match from the first round between Santa Clara and Tondela. And again, if you're in Portugal and you're hearing this and you want to see some type of football, this is really not bad to go. It's relatively inexpensive, the prices, compared to what we have to pay for, you know, even Major League Soccer in this country, which I'm surprised sometimes some of the prices that I hear about, although some stadiums are sold out. But that would be my suggestion if you're Portugal to, you know, go and check it out. Other big news is we finally found out about the Super Cup. It's going to be played on Wednesday, August the 9th. It will be played in Aveiro at 20:45. So after all this time waiting, we finally found a date, and that will be Wednesday, August the 9th. Some people don't know, but they keep asking me, why are they playing on a Wednesday? Well, as I've said in past episodes, it's because of the Pope's visit that they pushed it a little bit later. And then we had to wait a little bit longer for Braga because UEFA does not want domestic competitions competing with their competitions on the same night as they try, especially in the preliminaries. And that's why Braga will be playing on Tuesday, August the 8th, against the runner-up team from Serbia. And then on the 9th, we'll have the Super Cup. It's going to be sold out. It's already a tough ticket. You got to pretty much be a socio or a season ticket holder to get it. And, you know, when you have a Porto Benfica, there's a lot of emotion, as I will talk about, with the fact that we saw David Neres is basically his suspension has been temporarily suspended. He's available, but Conceição may not be. He's still got to appeal. I'll talk about that in a few minutes, you know, coming up. But the League Cup is all set Wednesday, August the 9th, 20:45, and that'll be taking place in lovely Aveiro. I went to see a match there in Aveiro a few years ago between Porto and Aves, 4 years ago. Big stadium, one of those stadiums that's in the outskirts of Aveiro. It's not necessarily something you could just walk up to. I will not be at that match this year. I'll be watching that on television, but that match is obviously destined to be sold out with a lot of fans. Let's get going with the Liga notes here in the first part of this episode. Interesting news, Estádio da Bessa, Boa Vista Stadium, has been temporarily banned from playing because of the pitch conditions. They played this past Monday, Leiria. Newly promoted from the third division, but the pitch was awful. Boa Vista said that the pitch will be ready in time for the first Liga home match. That will be coming up. And in case you didn't know, of course, they've already announced the Liga schedule. But the Liga has said, or Boa Vista, excuse me, has said, and by the way, as I'm talking to you, let me bring up the schedule for the first week, which I didn't have prepared here in my notes. Boa Vista said, don't worry. Their stadium and their pitch will be ready for the Boa Vista Benfica match on Monday, October the 14th. And by the way, why are they playing on a Monday? That's because, of course, them and Benfica, Porto Benfica, are playing, of course, the Super Cup on the Wednesday before. So that's why they're playing that following Monday. But Boa Vista said, don't worry, they're having a fungus problem, which is the way they described it. So we'll see what happens with that match. But that's a very interesting situation. Their pitch was rated very low. Very, very low for a first division club, and that became a little bit of big news this week. We saw Rio Ave this week. Rio Ave, of course, is banned this summer from signing players because of some issues with FIFA and a player from a few years ago. But Rio Ave has some good talent, and this what I'm about to say is has nothing to do with players, but they introduced their alternate kit down at the fish market in Vila do Conde. And one of the things I got to say for the Portuguese clubs, first and second division, is they're all doing a great job with the social media. A lot of them, like Passos de Ferreira, are promoting their cities. They're trying to do more than just be a football soccer team. And I thought it was very cool to see some of the photos of these players wearing their kits, which look like the color of Man City, in Vila do Conde at the fish market. So good job by Rio Ave. Big news for Gil Vicente. They found their Fran Navarro replacement, Croatian striker Roko Baturina, 27-year-old Croatian, was property of a Hungarian team called Ferenc Szarvas, which is one of the big teams in Hungary. He's been on loan, though, in Poland with Poznan. Then he was in Slovenia with Maribor. And last year, he was in the Spanish second division with Racing Santander. I think, if I remember, he had something like 4 goals in 14 matches. But that is the type of player that Portuguese clubs at the lower level like to get, the type of player that they think are coming to Portugal, play 38, 39 matches in a season, maybe score 20 goals, and they're looking to do that. Because remember, Fran Navarro last year scored more than 50% of Gil Vicente's goals. So they need somebody who can score goals for them, and that's what they did. So a very good find, and I'll talk about him during the season if he does in fact turn out to be as good as a Fran Navarro, we shall see. Also, the Liga came out with a bit of a graphic talking about the players last season who played the most minutes last season in the Liga. And in terms of the most minutes for any player, it was, well, of course, Vlatko Dimos with 3,326 minutes. In terms of players on the pitch, Fran Navarro, 3,317. Pote, also in the 3,000 club with 3,045. Makuta of Boavista, 3,002, barely made it. Guga, Rio Ave, 3,163 minutes. Grimaldo, 3,176 minutes. And Portus Pep also made it with a little over 2,000 a minute. So those were the players last season that the Liga put out a pretty nice graphic, basically talking about who the players that were that played the most minutes last season. Other news going on in the Liga. This is one's a very interesting one, of course. Fama has a player that a lot of clubs want. He's been linked to Porto, and that is, of course, Ivan Jaime. But another club that came into the news this week with an interest in him is Major League Soccer's Charlotte. Now, Charlotte's a brand new team. They came in, what, maybe 2 years ago, I think they came into play. Big fan base in Charlotte. If you didn't know it, they get big, big crowds, even bigger than Vitória Guimarães, the fourth biggest club in Portugal. They do very well down in Charlotte, by the way. Very, very, very well. And they apparently were very interested in getting Ivan Jaime. So we'll be curious to see. But that made a little bit of news. I was very surprised to hear Charlotte because, again, I'm surprised that no other teams in Portugal other than Porto are being linked with them, to be quite frank. But I'll be curious to see if Ivan Jaime is going to be like a Fran Navarro, staying with this club for another year and kind of doing all the scoring for his club. So we'll see what happens. International report, players comings and going. Interesting rumor, Renato Sanchez. Of course, he's been injured. Hasn't worked out well with PSG. You know, he did well at Lille, then he went to PSG. Well, now the story is that he might be going Roma and Mourinho. We'd love to bring him to Italy and get him on loan. So another move for possibly for Renato Sanchez. Fernando Santos, remember him? I know he's the favorite of a lot of you. He was in the news this week. Of course, he's the manager of the Polish national team, but he was being linked with one of the clubs in Saudi Arabia, Al Shabab. Poland came out and said that that wasn't true, that Fernando Santos was on vacation. But we'll see. But that was a bit of a rumor. Marco Silva was also rumored with Saudi Arabia. As I'm pressing record on this episode, there was an interest in him, but I don't think as of now, I think the money was ridiculously good, of course, but we haven't heard whether or not anything's going to be happening with that. Andre Vidigal, who I told you about last week, going from Marítimo, he's one of the young players that I talked about last year. I didn't know how much he was going to be getting, Marítimo was going to get paid. Well, Marítimo was getting €500,000 for him. I wanted to mention that the money because I didn't remember it last week, at least I don't remember. But a very big move for Andrew Vidigal. And in Europe also, Ricardo Sapinto, remember him? Of course, a few 2 years ago with Moreirense before they made the drop. And then, of course, he went to go manage in Iran, won I believe it was a Super Cup. Well, he left, and now he's in Cyprus with Apoel. Apoel is one of those clubs from Cyprus. It's one of the big teams in Cyprus that tends to be playing or either qualifying for the Champions League every year. And Ricardo Sapinto won their first leg against a team from Serbia 2-1. Coming up now, part two, I'm going to have my top 10 best transfers in Portugal, Big Three Report, Braga Report, and as well as other news and notes around the Liga. And coming up, part two. Part two of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. Welcome back. Before I get going, let me do like I always do. First of all, thank you for listening, whether it's for 10 minutes or for the whole episode. Great episode last week with the numbers. Some of my best numbers. And maybe, I don't know, maybe Spotify or maybe Google is finally highlighting it. I don't know, but got some really big numbers. Had a lot of people sending me emails, saying hello, asking me different questions. And people ask me all the time, what's the best way to support the efforts of PortugueseSoccer.com? I always say, please follow this podcast, Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Podcast Addict. It's on all the big platforms. I also put up the audio as well on YouTube, and that does very, very well. So again, I just want to say thank you for your time, and thank you for taking time out to listen to my opinions, which I believe are, not all of you believe it, but I believe is as objective as it can be. I'm going to say it like it is, the good and the bad. But at the end of the day, I hope you walk away learning a little bit more. And so again, thank you. And of course, you've got the social media accounts, peacesoccer.com, on Twitter, on Facebook. And then, of course, you have Portuguese_soccer_noticias on Instagram and Threads, which continues to grow little by little. Let me start off first with my top 10 players this summer coming to Portugal. Now, let me make a distinction here. Because I always try to be a little different, but I try to be a little bit smarter. These are, in my opinion, the top 10 players that have been brought to Portugal that are going to be a big fit for their club. This isn't just because they were sold for so much or because they came from another big club. These are players that are going to have a big effect. And I'll see how, if I'm good at this, I'll do a report card on this in the middle of the season, you know, maybe during Christmas time, New Year's time. But in my opinion, these are, in my opinion, the best player that's come to Portugal to the top 10. And I will list you what we have so far. And obviously, there's going to be another one that I'll update as well as toward the end of August. Number one is Cocho of Benfica. Major talent, already being a boss in the midfield for Benfica. Bruma, he loves being back in Portugal for Braga. He's scoring goals in the preseason. I think he's got to be your second best, in my opinion, transfer. And by the way, this is my opinion. That's all it is. Don't lose any sleep over it. Fran Navarro, to me, the third best. It's only one of the few moves Porto have made so far, although there's more to come. Fran Navarro, number three, going from Gil Vicente to Porto, is my number three. Angel Di Maria is my number four. My thing about Angel Di Maria is I think he's going to be a big help to Benfica. But what I think he brings to Benfica that is so important for Benfica or any Portuguese club, especially if Benfica goes back to the quarterfinals, is his experience and his ability in a Champions League quarterfinal compared to a lot of the players that are on the pitch that everybody wants to buy from big clubs but are only tasting that type of high level for the first time. Di Maria, I think, is a great signing for Benfica simply because I think he could bring that type of experience. I think maybe he could finally be the person that could score the big goal to get one of our clubs into the Final Four. I like that experience. You know, when you look at the you know, Cocho, Bruma, Navarro, none of them have major experience in the Champions League. Di Maria does international experience, and I think that's why he's my number four. The Swedish striker for Sporting, who just scored his first goal for them this weekend, Goyerkes. I think he's a very good move, and I think he's going to do very well. Sporting need him to score 20 to 25 goals this year if they're going to have any shot of trying to win the Liga. They need to get someone back to score a lot of goals along with Pote, and if that happens, Sporting is going to be competing like they have the last few years. Number six is Vitória Guimarães, a player named Adrian Boetskits. He was at Passos de Ferreira last year, 39 matches, 8 goals. This is a very big move, in my opinion, because, you know, there's already some good players at Guimarães with Jota Silva, you know, Andre Silva. And I think this guy, playing at a kind of a big club like Vitória Guimarães in Portugal, I think he's going to be in the right position to do something a little bit more. So I like this guy as my number six. Number seven is a loan from Benfica to Fama, Henrico Raju. Great young talent. Didn't work out last year with, I think it was Watford. Supposedly, according to a story in the press, if you believe it, him and Schmidt don't see eye to eye, and that's why he's on loan again. But I think this is a perfect spot for Henrico Raju. I think this is an opportunity for him to play, get some serious minutes, and to show that perhaps he could be a very, very good player. I don't think he's going to replace Gonçalo Ramos ever in the future because, again, I think as long as Schmidt's there and that whole thing, I don't see it happening if reports are true. I think Henrico Raju, I love this at number seven. Number eight is the player that Vitória Guimarães got, Thomas Ribeiro, who used to play with B-Side. I'm a very big fan of that move. Number nine, again, just a great fit for Braga. His experience, what they need, especially if they qualify for the Champions League, and that is, of course, José Font. And then wrapping it up is another player from Braga, and that's the Uruguayan international, Zalava. Just a good young player. the perfect player to come to Portugal to build his brand and to move on to a bigger and better thing. But the young kid that they got from the club in Germany, the Uruguayan international, I call him Z, that is the player that I think is going to be. And those are, in my opinion, the top 10 players that we have here in the transfer market in Portugal, the top 10 best players. Let's move on now to the big three report in Braga. And I'm going to start off with Braga. Braga, of course, good result this week, 1-1 with Roma, Bruma with the goal. Braga also found out their Champions League third preliminary round opponent. It's a team called Baka Topola from Serbia. Not a recognized name, but they did finish runner-up last year in Serbia, so they are someone to be very careful with. Drulovic, you might remember him. He played for Porto, and I think it was also Benfica. Serbian, lived in Portugal for many years. I think he still does. He follows the Serbian league closely, and he says Braga is the favorite in this tie. But at the same time, you still got to do that on the pitch. The first leg will be on the 8th, and the second leg will be on the 15th. Artur Jorge, the manager, was interviewed, and he said the same thing that President Salvador said, and he says that he wants to win a Liga title in Portugal. And again, I don't think they're quite ready. You know, you can lose last year 5-0 to Sporting twice and then beat a Benfica and Porto and expect to win the title. You got to beat all three teams if you want to win the title. But Artur Jorge has done a great job getting them to finish in third place last year and putting them in the position to try to qualify for the Champions League. He came out and he said his goal, of course, that's everybody's goal, at least if you're in the top four or five, is to win the Liga. But I think Braga talking like that, I think their fan base loves to hear that. And I think that's a very, very big thing. Big three report. Let's start off first with Benfica. They lost to Burnley in the Restelo 2-0. So all of a sudden, the invincibility of Benfica is gone. David Neres, of course, if you remember during the celebrations, had some choice words for his rivals. He was suspended for that. Benfica went to TAD and argued and got it temporarily suspended, which enables him to be available for the Super Cup. And obviously, there's a lot of conspiracy theories going around because you also have a situation, which I'll talk about in a minute, with Conceição, who's been suspended, but he's still got to try to get his appeal. But if you're a Benfica fan, you got to be very, very happy that David Neres will be available. David Neres, by the way, had a big offer from Zenit in Russia. Didn't even bother to listen to it, according to reports. And why would you? Look, none of the Russian teams are playing in European competition for obvious reasons. Why would you want to leave Benfica when they're going to play in the Champions League? Why Zenit would make that move, I don't get it. But that was a bit of a story with David Neres this week. We saw Verissimo get sent on loan for 1 year to Fluminense. The João Felix update. He's with Atletico. He went on their tour to South Korea. But Galatasaray wants him. And they're willing to pay Atletico $10 million for a loan fee. And I think they're willing to pay João as much for salary, which is, by the way, for a Turkish club, especially if it was a Portuguese club, that is a lot of money for a loan fee. But the Turkish are known to do that even more than Portuguese clubs. They're known to try to get these really big players. They have a humongous fan base. So they get so many fans at their matches, I think even more than what Liga gets in Portugal. And they're trying to make a move, Galatasaray, a big club in Turkey. João Felix, I don't think, is interested. But again, I think the whole João Felix Benfica opportunity is going to go down to the wire to the very last day when João realizes he's probably got to go back to Atletico. He's got to be managed again by Simeone. And I think at that point, he may look to make the move to Benfica. He's probably going to go to Benfica cheaper salary just to do it and hopefully resuscitate his career with Benfica. I would not be surprised to see that. But Galatasaray trying to beat Benfica to João Felix. We'll see if it happens, but I don't think João Felix is going to do that. And also, Gonçalo Ramos, Rui Costa has said that he's going to stay at least through the Super Cup. But remember what I told you last week. There's going to be that interest building in the month of August with all the big EPL clubs. So, you know, you don't hear about Gonçalo a lot. You're going to start to hear his name really pick up. Moving on to Porto, the big news is that Sergio Conceição was suspended for 30 days because of what happened at the Casa Pia match last season. And much like with David Neres, Porto is going to go and they are going to try to get that temporarily suspended. They're going to go to TAD. And again, TAD, every time I can remember, they seem to basically uphold the appeal and let the players or managers play. But that was a big thing, and there's a lot of conspiracy theories that will be going on if it does get declined. But Conceição, by the way, has been suspended 24 times in Portugal, if you could believe it. 24 times in Portugal. He's never been suspended in Europe. My cousins in France, who are big Porto fans, they believe there's a conspiracy theory to that. But you know, I think my theory, yeah, 24 times, but you know something? There aren't a lot of managers and players. You know, it does happen. I think Taremi last year was sent off from a match. But generally speaking, you don't see a lot of managers sent off in European competition. The decorum, the way the players act compared to domestic competition, tends to be a little bit better at the European level. That, I think, explains it maybe why he hasn't ever been suspended in Europe, Conceição, compared to what happens in Portugal. But still, 24 is a lot. There's no doubt about that. Porto this week lost to Wolves. Pedro Neto scored the winning goal, the Portuguese, to beat Porto in a preseason friendly. Evan Nielsen's hurt again. Really bad news for Porto. He was hurt a lot last year. That is not very good news for Porto that Evan Nielsen is hurt. And Porto will be getting a reinforcement probably by the time you listen to this, and that is that Barca's Nico Gonzalez, by all reports, will be going to Porto. They just need to finalize the deal, a good pickup for Porto in the midfield. Alan Varela, another player that's been targeted by Porto. He's with Boca Juniors. He's trying to force a move. He's eventually going to come to Porto. This is all about negotiation, this and that. I think by this time it's all said and done, Boca will get a good percentage of his pass. Porto will pay anywhere from 8 to 10 million, and he will definitely be going. And other news is Tomás Esteves, of course, he's an Arcos do Alvis product. Looks like he's going to be sold to the club that he was on loan last year in Italy, Pisa, for about 1 million euros. Moving on to Sporting, a very good week for Sporting. They beat Real Sociedad. So on the night that Porto and Benfica lost their preseason matches, Sporting did win. Goyacris scoring the goal in a 3-0 win. Pote looked fantastic. And Ruben Amorim, of course, trying some different things out. But they looked really, really good. Schmidt also looked good. Schmidt, I think at one time he was being mentioned with Wolves. The latest report is Barnamouth of England. I probably did not say that right. But apparently, Schmidt, and again, the price, if you want him, is 20 million euros. And, of course, Sporting's getting ready this week to play their Cinco Violinos match, which is their traditional match, which kind of also serves as the matchup presentation for the upcoming season. Moving on here, I just want to go back to talk about one other thing about the women's team, and that is that the women are going to be playing in the Nations League this summer. And the Federation announced their locations. They're going to be playing Norway in Barcelos on September the 26th. They're going to be playing Austria on October the 1st in Varzim. And they will play, which is really the big opponent in their group, France on December the 5th. And that will be played in Leiria, one of the bigger stadiums in Portugal. So they're expecting a very, very big crowd for that match. Viewer questions. First off, I got an email from Mario Raposo asking about the TV rights. And my understanding is nothing has changed in North America, but I'll confirm that next week because I want to see what they're going to be doing. Just remember that Portugal is going to be centralizing their TV rights. They're obviously going to be asking for more money. And usually when that happens, there tends to be a change. But I'll follow up more next week with the TV rights. Last I know, it's still Gold TV in the USA with our good friend Nino Torres. You can't beat Nino Torres and Gold TV. It's just a really good way. And of course, RTP International will also be broadcasting one match a week. And I believe they're also going to be broadcasting the Super Cup. I'm going to confirm that next week, but I believe also RTP International will be broadcasting the Super Cup because they tend to have the rights to the Portuguese Federation competitions. I had somebody ask me, because you know I was defending Ronaldo last week against Messi, what my thoughts were regarding Messi and the incredible goal he scored in his Inter-Miami debut. And look, Cristiano has scored a lot of goals as well in Saudi Arabia, to be fair. But as somebody that's here, that's somebody that wants to see Major League Soccer do well, yes, I did watch that goal. He has since scored two more goals in another match. This can only mean good things for Messi. But Sometimes this makes MLS look bad because now everybody's expecting Messi to score 50 goals in the U.S., and that's going to make the USA look weaker. So we'll see what happens. But yes, I did see it. And no, I'm not ready to say that Messi is the best player ever or Cristiano. Different gen. I just think these two players, the worst thing that ever happened to them is that they were both born in the same generation, I think, to me. I feel like for me, Pelé, all the tremendous players throughout history, Franz Beckenbauer, the original Ronaldo, there's been some great players. I just think it's very unfair to say who the best player is. But just to answer your question, that is, in my opinion, what I think. Was also asked a question about, in my opinion, and this one comes from Zeh from Switzerland. Hello from Switzerland. If you were going to go to match, week one match in Portugal, which he's trying to do, which match would you go to that did not involve the big three? Because chances are it's better to get a ticket. Well, I'll tell you what I would do if you're not going to, because the big three is always a very difficult to get matches. For instance, Porto's playing, I think, Moreirense. That's going to be a tough match. But if you want to go to Portugal, here's my advice to you, and you're going to be there that first weekend. First off, number one, try to go to Braga Familiacão on a Friday night. And the reason why that's great on a Friday night is because that means you got Saturday and Sunday free. And then what I would do is, if you stay up north, you could go see Gil Vicente play on that Saturday. Gil Vicente is not that far away from Barcelos. And then you can make the trip up north and then head, well, actually, here's what you could do. My advice to you is go to Lisbon and try to catch the Estrela Amadora Vitória Guimarães match. I think that would be pretty good. But if you were to tell me which match to go to outside of the big three the first weekend of the year, my man, I think I'm going to go with Braga Familiacão. Braga is going to be roaring, big crowd. I think it would be a fantastic environment. The stadium is a little bit out of the way outside the city, but I think that would be my opinion. Got another one here. Sean from California asked, what was my opinion on the Swedish striker Gojerks? And the fact that he did so well. Look, I'm not one of those that's going to watch a match, and off of watching one match, I become an expert on a player. I think for me, you have a better idea of what a player's value is to the team and how good he will be once you start getting into November and it starts to get a little bit colder in Portugal and the weather changes and now you're playing the really important matches in Europe and the pressure is shining on you. I want to see Gojerks, just like I want to see Kochu. Just like I want to see any of these other players that have come to Portugal this summer. I want to see them performing how well in November. But I will say this so far, great signing, the most expensive signing by Sporting. I think everything he's done so far has been pretty good. So I wish him, of course, the best of luck. And let me end it right here. Really no news about my Atlético dos Arcos, but there was one nice news about Arcos, and that is that the Porto's under-19 team did their estágio in Arcos de Valdevez, great choice. I believe this is the second year in a row that they've done the estágio. My guess is they were probably training in the Estádio do Cutada, where Atlético dos Arcos was training, and then they were probably also using the other stadium next door, the newer one, that I don't know why they don't use, but I know they have track and field in there. They were probably using that stadium as well, and probably they were also using the stadium across the street because of the amount of space they have just to run around. Probably the rugby field is there because they got some pretty good facilities there. Anyway, folks, I'm going to wrap up episode 181 of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for your support and your listen. Really enjoy the end of July because it's going to end fast. Looking forward to seeing the women's match against the USA. Looking forward to checking out some of the League Cup results. And of course, before you know it, we'll have the Super Cup and we'll have the first week of the Liga Betclic season in Portugal. Anyway, folks, that's going to wrap it up. Please take care of yourselves. Please take care of your families. And I'll talk to you next week. Ciao, everybody.